Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, first off, thank you for being here. Thank you for making it a priority on your Labor Day weekend to be at church when you could be doing so many other fun things. I appreciate that. Glad you guys are here. And appreciate everyone just taking a break from Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce engagement. You know, that's the only joke I'm going to make, I promise. The only Travis and Taylor joke. I won't mention them, but let's take a break for a few hours from that, no matter if you like it or don't like it. That's it. But as Paul mentioned, my name is Jonathan Tock. I help lead guest services here at Grace River, and just really excited about the message that we're going to talk through here today. And so if today's your first time or we just haven't had the chance to meet yet, I like to think of myself kind of as the relief pitcher here. So you've got, you know, one pastor that had a baby. Chris is a big fan of all the Taylor Swift Easter eggs, so he had to take the day off from preaching, you know, all the jokes. Okay, I'm done. Done with the Taylor Swift jokes. No, but they kind of called to the bullpen, and they're like, hey, can you come speak, which I love. I went to a Cardinals game a few weeks ago, actually, and they were up 6-2. They bring the reliever in, you know, you're like, here's a cupcake. Like, we just trust you. Don't mess up. We lost by 2, of course, because that's the way the Cardinals season has gone. I hope that's not how this morning goes, so maybe that was a bad analogy there. But we are going to dig into trust and where we place our trust here this morning. And so we're continuing our series, King of the Castle. So if you weren't here this weekend, or if you just had a long week, you know, last week we talked about taking the crown off your own head, and my head's bigger than Paul's, so I can't wear it, but taking the crown off of your own head, and you can't begin to follow a perfect God if you don't take the crown off your head. But it begged the question as we finished last week is, where do you put the crown? What do you put on the throne of your life? If it's not you, if it's not your own head, where do you put the crown? And we have to decide where we put it, what we do with it. And so the world tells us to put this crown in a safe, put it in the bank, you know, put it in all the things of the world, and we have to decide what to do. And my question for you as we begin, as we jump into this morning, is why not trust God with your crown? Why not trust God with your crown? Paul finished last week by saying there's only room for one person on that throne, and it isn't you. Why not God? We put all sorts of things on the throne of our life, from problems to finances to issues, and why not trust God? And so that's really where we're going to dig in here this morning. Excited to jump into it and get going. But we're going to start this morning in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 9. And so for those new to the Bible is broken up into two parts. You have the Old Testament, which is everything leading up to the life of Jesus. And then you have the New Testament, which is the life of Jesus, his ministry, and ultimately what happens when he returns. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament. So 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 9. And I do want to dig in a little bit. Here we're introduced to a king named King Hezekiah. This story goes a little deep. So I don't know if they chose this on purpose, but I'm using all of the ministry or all of the master's degree to really dig into this. So I want to give a little context before we jump too deep into it, into this story. And so in this case, King Hezekiah and his people are, like during most of the Old Testament, are under attack, and they're under attack from the Assyrians. So they're under threat from the people that are the Assyrians. The Assyrians are one of the most powerful armies in the world at this time, and basically they're slowly taking over nations around them, and nations around them were collapsing. The people were scared, and there was pressure on Hezekiah to make deals, to make compromises, or to just give up. And so we're going to jump into 2 Kings here. So during the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, which was the seventh year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, King Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked the city of Samaria and began a siege against it. 3 years later, during the sixth year of King Hezekiah's reign and the ninth year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, Samaria fell. At that time, the king of Assyria exiled the Israelites to Assyria and placed them in colonies in Halah along the banks of the Habor River and Gozan and the city of the Medes. For they refused to listen to the Lord their God and obey him. Instead, they violated his covenant, all the laws that Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded them to obey. Okay, so that was a lot, I know. But to frame a little bit of in mind, God's people weren't listening. God's people were pushing back. They weren't following the laws of the Old Testament. And because of that, they were in a bad place. The city was continuing to fall. They were continuing to go against God and continuing to fail. So much so that the king of Assyria was trying to talk to the Judean people, so trying to talk to King Hezekiah's people and turn them against God. And so we continue on in verse 30 here.
Don't let him fool you into trusting the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely rescue us. This city will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. Don't listen to Hezekiah. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. Make peace with me, open the gates and come out. Then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drinking from your own well. And I love to stop there. I'm a bit of a Bible nerd. Like, I love when the Bible calls and calls on itself and calls back to itself. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Trust me. Don't trust God. Here's your tree. You get this fruit. Everything will be great. Just trust me. Don't trust God. Right? So it calls right back to the story of Adam and Eve and trusting God. And I just love the beauty of the Bible. So total tangent, but we'll go on. We'll keep going here. In verse 32, it says, then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one, a land of grain and new wine, bread and vineyards, olive groves and honey. Choose life instead of death. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tries to mislead you by saying, the Lord will rescue us. And I love the quotes that this puts in this specific translation. The king, as if he will, the Lord will rescue us, as the king of Assyria says to the Judean people. And then in 33, it says, have the gods of any nation ever saved their people from the king of Assyria? And he starts listing off all of these other gods and other gods of the towns that Assyria is taking over. He says, what happened to the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And what about the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Did any god rescue Samaria from my power? What god of any nation has ever been able to save its people from my power? So what makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? What makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? And that's the push that the king of Assyria says to the Judean people. It's the push, honestly, that the world still tells us as Christians, is what makes your God any good? What makes your God better than the next one? What makes you think that your God can say it? And Hezekiah, he could have given up. He could have just walked on, but he didn't. He did something different. And unlike many of the bad kings before him, we talked about a lot of those bad kings last week, Hezekiah trusted God. And in verse 30, it tells us that people were tempted to look to Egypt for help, tempted to look to Assyria for their answers. But Hezekiah knew two things, and I want to really draw out the two things that Hezekiah knew. The first thing is that when you have a true king, you don't have to run to protection and false kings. We don't have many gods, we have one God. And the people knew this. They didn't have to run for safety from Assyria because they had strength and faith in their God. And the second thing that Hezekiah knew is when your purpose is people, the place doesn't matter. When your purpose is people, the place doesn't matter. We talk about that all the time here, is that our church here is a movement. It's not a building you drive to, but it's a movement that you choose to be a part of. Because when your purpose is people, the place doesn't matter. It's not about the walls. It's not about Judea. It's not about the city. It's about the people. So much so that an interesting tidbit about Hezekiah is he built something called Hezekiah's Tunnel, which is a 1,700-foot tunnel under Judea to help lead the people out in the event that they ever basically got taken over. And it still stands. You can go see it today. And I think that's amazing because he realized it's not about this place. It's about the people that are a part of it that serve a God that's bigger. And I don't know about you, but we can see time and time again that the world tells us to trust these things, to trust the world. The world will serve, will protect you. It says, give this blind trust. Chris Heifel blindly trusts Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs to take them back to a Super Bowl. That's blind trust, that he just knows that they're going to do it. I'm thinking it's because he's a Swiftie, but I'm here to tell you, like, it's to trust God over all those things and to trust God in everything that you do. It's important to place your trust in God even when things are tough. And Hezekiah understood that if there was another king and that king was good, then his response was to trust and follow him. But I think it's important. I know for me personally, like right when I started coming to church, there was always this push of like, just trust God. Just trust this invisible God with all of your problems. And as I grew up, and this was just 3 years ago, and so it's still fresh in my mind of like, what do you mean just trust God? I don't even know who God is in my life yet. I don't know what God means in my life. I'm still figuring this out. I had a foundation, but you're telling me to just blindly trust this invisible God. And it was honestly frustrating to hear from people of this assumption to just trust God. So this morning, we're going to go into four different types of trust and talk through those types of trust one by one. And the first type of trust is blind trust. So blind trust is this idea to trust without any questions. And I think so often as Christians, we act like that's the starting point. Like, well, you start by just trusting God. But in reality, that's the finish point. I think I could talk to any Christian, even one that's mature in their faith, and they'll say there are things that they don't trust God with yet. There are things that we hold on to that we can't let go of. And that blind trust in God often isn't the starting point, but the finish line. And maybe you're a trusting person and you give trust and you're just one of those people that's like, oh, I just trust people. I don't know why. I just have always been the type of person that I trust whoever it is. I leave my door unlocked at night. Like, I think people are good and that's awesome. But biblical trust isn't a step into the dark, but a leap into the light of who God has, who God is, and who God always has revealed himself to be. And so I think I can speak to that because I grew up, I went to church 6 days a week. So every day, I went to a Catholic school, and so you went to church every day of the week, and then you went on Sunday, and I did that for pretty much until I was 18 and left for college, and I was always doing those things. I was always checking the boxes. I was doing the things that someone that trusted God would do. If you looked at that, you'd say, yeah, obviously he trusts God. He's spending all this time. He's going to church. He's checking the boxes, but the reality is I never actually gave my trust to God. I had a great foundation that was laid through that upbringing, but I never gave my trust to him. And the first time that I can really think of when my faith was tested was when my wife Sarah and I, we had one of the just most difficult times of our life. We had our daughter Ella, who was beautiful, she was perfect, but we were imperfect to each other. I mean, it caused the change from one kid to two kids, caused the chain in us that just made us evil towards each other. We weren't the husband and the wives that we were supposed to be. And honestly, it was a valley in our life. It was a tough point in our life that we had to figure out, what does this mean? And luckily, we had this foundation of God and this foundation of church to say, hey, maybe it's community. Maybe it's church in our life that we need. And that's ultimately what led us to come to Grace River for the first time and to just check it out. Was we wanted more community. We wanted more people that were in a similar spot as us, similar place in their life. But even when we started coming to church, it took months to realize what exactly trust in Christ is. I had so many reasons not to trust him, but it took steps before I actually gave my life to Christ. March 13th of the year that we started going and giving my life to Christ was an amazing time. I was able to, you know, finally say, God, this is yours. I surrender. I'm giving it all to you. And I would love to tell you that I did that and I haven't had any issues since. Like, it's been all rainbows and miracles ever since. But I think most of you, as you're looking up here, you know that's not true, that it hasn't been just perfect ever since giving my life to Christ. And so last time I was on stage here, I talked about my dad getting cancer. My dad got cancer in his liver. They ended up having to take 70% of his liver, remove 70% of his liver. And then basically they pulled all the cancer out. Things looked good, only for a few months later to find out that he had cancer in other parts of his body. And that was a pit. That was a time that I asked God, like, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why can't you? I know you can heal him, but like, why aren't you? Why aren't you doing the right things? And I found God so many times in that pit. I found God was there with me. But I have to say, by miracle, my dad, he was actually here at the first service. He's here today, completely cancer-free, which is just amazing. A miracle by God. Yeah, give it up. Give it up to God, for sure. And it's amazing. It's not because of the work he did. It's not just the work that the doctors did, but truly a miracle through God to do this for him. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. With the beauty of cancer, you have to keep going back, and they check you two times as much as you did. And so we don't know what the future holds. But we praise God for that miracle, that mountaintop that I feel like we were on when we got the news that he didn't have cancer. And I'm not naive, though, to say that the story doesn't always go that way. Just this last week, we found out that my wife's grandpa was getting put on hospice, that he wasn't doing very well, was having trouble eating, swallowing, talking, and on Tuesday of this week, we actually went to his funeral. He passed away, and we buried him, and a man who loved God and loved his community, and we heard all these amazing stories. And we heard all these amazing stories, and the story isn't always that God saves, that it seems like, what happened? Why did you let this happen? Why couldn't we just have more time with him? Why couldn't we just have this or have that? And we found truly the pit earlier this week of just asking God, like, why? Why can I not trust you with this thing? I know he loved God. I know he's there with you. Everyone says those things, but it's so hard to trust him. And I say that because I know some of you here this morning might be on a mountaintop. You might be at, you know, things are going well. Maybe you got some great news like that this morning, or you may be in a valley that you're struggling and you're asking God why. And it's important to realize that following Christ is not miracles and rainbows. Like I said, it's not always perfect, and God doesn't promise that. I mean, his only son, his only perfect son, lived a perfect life, carried a cross up a hill only to be nailed to it, right? But we are lucky enough that as Christians, our story doesn't end there. Our story doesn't end with death. It doesn't end with something not going our way, but it's only the beginning of the redeeming and the amazing God that we follow. And so I want to jump into John 20, verse 31, and it says, "But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." And so I close out blind trust there by just saying that trust should never be blind. Even trust in God should never be blind, but be anchored in history and in your own testimony of what God has done in your life, what God has done through your life. Second type of trust here is professional trust. Some of you may know Eric Martin. He goes to church here. He's my doctor. He wears scrubs, and there's just something about people in scrubs that it's like, I trust him. I don't know. You could tell me whatever like shot I need. You could tell me you have to do 3 push-ups every morning. Like I might not do that, but I'm gonna say that I did, right? Like I trust Eric. I trust doctors. You put a white coat on, and I'm pretty much like, hey, here's the keys to my house. Like you are a trusting person. But that's my experience. I know a lot of people. They see scrubs. They see a white coat, and because of the last few years. They don't trust doctors. They have a mistrust for healthcare. They have a mistrust for everything that the profession has, and it can be difficult, but you have to realize that this trust is based on our experiences. Jeremiah 17:5 says this, "This is what the Lord says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." It would be easy to say that doctors and everything that they knew cured my dad, that it was their work that did it. But I know that's not true. I know that their work was important, and God used their hands to cure him, but it was God, and it was only God. And so to rely only on humans, regardless of profession, can be dangerous. The third type of trust is system trust. This is trust in systems. I think a lot of people have a story of church where they trusted church and church let them down. You may be thinking right now, like, hey, that guy was supposed to text me back for serving on guest services or about a small group, and he never did. I may have let you down. We're a church of imperfect people. The staff is imperfect. The staff isn't perfect in any way, but we follow a perfect God, and the system can be what has let down our trust and not God. Last but not least here is relational trust. And I think a lot of us are naturally non-trusting. I may have been talking through Jeremiah a second ago, and you'd be like, yeah, I don't trust anybody. I 100% agree with that. But the reality is that comes from the world having carved experiences into our life where unless I have a relationship with you, I don't trust you. Unless I, you know, break bread every weekend with you, you're just not someone that I trust. And maybe I came up this morning and I walked out and you were like, I don't trust this guy. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but I just don't trust him. Maybe you're thinking that right now, in which case I'm halfway done. Sit tight, be nice, you know. But like that trust comes from relationships. It comes from knowing someone. It comes from knowing about their life that has given you trust. Proverbs 14:15, chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps." Carefully consider their steps. And so it's important to carefully consider our steps. I'm not saying blind trust, even though it's the gateway, it can be hard to get to that final line and to make sure that we don't let our experiences label our trust for God, because our experiences are only a finite time and the beauty of God's dominion over all of us. And so, okay, so I'm getting into all these types of trusts. Right now you're probably thinking, like, what does this have to do with King of the Castle? Like, where are we going to get back to that? And I promise that's where we're getting back to. The truth is, you can't put the crown of your life on something that you don't trust. You can't put the crown of your life on something that you don't have trust will do the right things. And more importantly, it depends on what you're putting on the throne of your life. So my second question this morning is, what are you putting on your throne? What are you putting on your throne? And so you may have been wondering what this random thing is over here. This is where we get to that part. You might have been putting your golf bag on your throne, right? Of like, hey, it's easier to have a tea time early in the morning because it gets hot. And like, I just skipped church this weekend, but I promise, like, next weekend, I'm going to be on time. We'll be good. There's online church now. I don't have to go. No worries. Like, it's fine. So some of us put the golf bag on our throne. Some of us put kids' sports, and that's good. We'll just, yeah, we'll put that there. Some of us put kids' sports, and I know with things coming back up, like things come up, we put that on the throne of our life. Put that over there. Some of us, this is a big one, finances, right? Like money and things. That's not a bag full of money. That's Monopoly money. But like we put that on the throne of our life, that's the most important. Back to school, my son was so gracious to give me the coolest backpack ever here, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but like, we'll put that down there. We put that on the throne of our life. For a lot of us, it's work. Like, work is so important. I have to get back to that email. We're gonna put that on the throne of our life. Like, it's just, I trust God with it. I'll pray about it, but I can't really give it to Him. The cancer diagnosis, I prayed for my dad a lot. You know, I prayed for him a lot, but I didn't really trust that he would do anything. I didn't trust that it was his hands, and so I put that on the throne. And then relationship, grudges with my family and with my friends and all these things, you know, I put that on the throne of my life. And as we put those things on the throne of our life, as we say that they're more important, we spend our time and we think about them and we worry about them, we stress about them, you realize it can be difficult to find a place for God. It can be difficult to find a place where you put God on the throne, and instead he gets the leftover instead of where he ultimately deserves to be. And it's the difficult choice to say, God, the cancer diagnosis, I trust you. I'm praying for you. I trust that you'll do something. I trust that it will matter. Kids' sports are important, and I want my kids to excel, but they can't do that in life without a relationship with you. No matter how good they are, no matter what happens, it'll never be you. My finances, God, I want to give these to you. It's important. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give some back. I'm going to make sure that my money goes further and continues to move forward your kingdom. There's tea times at 1 o'clock, so we're not going to cancel or miss church. We're going to do our best to be there and just spend time with God. Work will be there, but I want to continue to make sure that I don't make work the God of my life, that I don't make it. Kids are back to school. I got to get back into the routine, and I'm going to trust that God will make sure that they can help teach others about you. Our relationships, our grudges, I'm going to give those to you. I'm going to finally forgive. And what it allows me to do is trust the invisible God and trust him in my life and put him as the main piece, the main throne of my life, that I would give it to God and that I would say, God, this is yours. All of these things are not eternal. All of this stuff will come and go. Jobs change. Kids will go through seasons. But the reality is throughout their life and throughout our life, we have one eternal reward from God. And I'm going to give that to him. And so if you're here this morning and you're saying, I've never put the crown of my life on God, as I talk through these things, you say, I've never given my life to God. I want to give everyone a minute here. So if everyone can bow their heads and close their eyes. I want you to think about those things that you hold control of, those things that hold control of you, those things in your life that you've not trusted into the hands of God. And for those that haven't let God take over, haven't surrendered their life, I want to talk directly to you for a minute. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never said, God, my life is yours, I want to talk directly to you for a minute. We serve a perfect God, and the way that you can finally say, God, I'm putting your crown as the center of my throne, you are the king of my life, is just like this. You can say, God, I admit that I'm imperfect. I admit that I put other things before you. I admit that I've made mistakes. But I believe that you wipe the throne clean. I believe there's only one head for my life. There's only one person on the throne of my life. God, I believe you are perfect, that your son came and lived a perfect life only to be killed for me and for me to have a relationship with you forever. And number three, I confess that I'm not perfect. I confess that there's only one God that I want to give my life to. I confess that you are the future. And from this day on, I commit to following you every day of my life. I commit to continuing to follow you. All right, you can raise your heads. Can we give a round of applause to anyone that just walked through that with me for the first time? Yeah, that's awesome. You're in God's circle of trust. I always love, Chris says, if heaven has a refrigerator, your picture's on it. You're in God's circle of trust, but it's up to you to let God in your circle. It's up to you to accept the gift that God, the free gift that God gives us. And I promise it won't be easy. I promise it will be difficult. There will be highs, there will be valleys, there will be pits. Valleys and pits are the same thing, but there will be mountaintops and there will be valleys and it will be hard. But the reality is God is in your corner and you have the Lord of the universe in your corner. And for those, I know sometimes I'm sitting there as we have this moment to surrender and I think, man, I've already surrendered my life to God. Like, this is great for those people, but what about me? I want to remind you, at Grace River, our mission is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And you can't begin to do that if your throne is full of other things. If your throne is full of other things in your life, you've got to surrender the crown, and you've got to put the crown on the head of God. No matter how big or small your head is, you have to put God on the throne. And so I promised I would come back to the story of King Hezekiah. And so we'll jump into 2 Chronicles, verse 32, 6 through 8. And it says, he appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us. Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. We have the Lord our God on our side. That's our battle cry as we go into this week, as we go into this season, that we have the Lord on our side. And no matter what army is at the gates of our life, no matter what seems like it's pushing in, whether it be finances or kids or work or whatever may be pushing in on those gates, we have the God of the universe on our side, and there's no army that he can be defeated by. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It doesn't say seek comfort. It doesn't say seek financial power. It says seek the kingdom of God above all else. Psalm 20, verse 7 complements this and says, some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. We boast in the name of our Lord our God, not our stuff, not our things, but a God that loves us and that cares about us. And so I have three next steps for you. The first next step is to identify where you place your crown, what you put on your throne. Identify where this week. Write it down. Pray it out loud. God, I'm giving you this stress in my life. I'm giving you this problem in my life that you would just take it over, that you would capture it, that you would hold it, and I think you'll be amazed at what God does. But we can't begin to solve what's on our throne until we identify what it is. The second next step is to take one step of trust in God. Take one step of trust in God. That may be the biggest step. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, your next step may be to surrender to him and say, God, it's yours. I'm taking the crown off and I'm putting it on your head. For some people, it's something small. It might just be, I'm trusting God with 10 minutes in the morning so I can pray and I'm giving this time back to you. We have a lot of exciting stuff happening right now at our church. This step of trust might be joining a small group. I think one beauty about this story is that King Hezekiah didn't face Assyria on his own. He had an entire army with him that trust in him, but ultimately trust in God. And we have to find our army. And small groups are a great way to do that. Who is standing beside us? Who's making us better? Who's helping to grow our relationship with God? On top of that, baptism is coming up on October 12th, a little ways away, but maybe that next step is to say, God, I've surrendered to you, I've given my life to you, but I've never come before the church and truly put you on that throne of my life. Maybe that's the next step for you to take. And then the third next step is just to lean into the battle cry that God is with us. Whatever you're going into this week, I hope you go in confidently. I hope you go in encouraged. I hope you go in with the knowing that God is on your side and wants you, and you are on his refrigerator in the, with your pitcher. Just go into this life knowing that no matter what challenges are ahead, that you can go into that, embrace that challenge with God to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. So if you bowed your heads, would you pray with me as we close out here this morning? God, thank you for giving us this battle cry. Thank you for being a good God. I just pray as everyone here goes into the week that we would trust you with more, that we would clear the throne of our life so that we can place the crown on your head, on a perfect God that is working through us, that is working with us, God. We are amazed by everything you do, and we just thank you for the ability that you have to come into our life and to make a difference, God. We trust you. Please help us as we go through this week to give all of our trust, all of our worry, anxiety to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, Jonathan. So grateful for your message. And I know for me, even just personally, just feeling convicted about how so often I can put things, whether it's family or finances or whatever, on the throne of my life. And some of those things can be good things, but they don't need to take that position of the throne of my life, right? We talked about in the first week taking the crown off. It doesn't belong to us, and we're not the king. But we do have a good king that we can trust. And I can't wait for next week, for week number 3 of this series. I do want to let you know just about a couple things real quickly. We have fall kickoff coming up in just a couple weeks, September 21. We're going to have a kids' carnival outside. We're going to have giveaways. It's going to be a great day. When you exit the auditorium today, the auditorium door host will have some invite cards. I want to encourage you to pray about and invite somebody with you. We invite people here because we just want them to experience what we've experienced. We believe that hope is found only in Jesus, and we want to experience, and we want others to experience that same hope. And so I want to encourage you to invite people along. You'll get those invite cards as you head out the door today. Also want to let you know, again, small groups, last day to sign up for those really is today or this week, and you can use a QR code, or I will be, again, right out the doors, double doors, by the map. You'll see the TV with the map on it. I'd love to help you kind of get connected to that. And so we'll use the Church Center app, or we'll get you online. We'll get you connected to the small group that would fit for you. Why don't you stand with us as we close the service? I want to also just thank you for your faithful giving here at Grace River. We don't have some outside organization that funds us. It's really all of us just together. But I want you to know what your giving does. One of the things that your giving does is it changes the lives of people like Jonathan and Sarah. And now he's training to become a pastor. That happens because of your faithful giving. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week. See you next week for week number 3 of our series, King of the Castle.